as the saying goes. So the ministry of hospitality in particular is something that I know is exemplified here again and again by what you've been able to do, what you've been able to show. Romans 12 is a passage that we've referred to many times because it, along with 1 Corinthians 12, which talks about the nine gifts of the Spirit, there are gifts of ministry that are talked about in Romans 12. And this particular verse, our focus verse, points out distributing to the necessity of saints given to hospitality. And I thought, huh, that's an interesting way to put it, given to hospitality, because that takes a lot of giving, doesn't it? Giving of your time, giving of your energy, giving of your resources, giving of yourself. And obviously that's the way to fulfill that aspect of hospitality. The focus brings out how the church needs members who will open their hearts and homes to those who are hurting and lonely, as well as to guests and friends. And that speaks just of the aspect of friendship. A man will have friends, he shows himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and thank the Lord for it. Praise God. It's one of my habits. If I see a pond and there's stones alongside the shore, especially flat ones, I'm going to see how many I can skip. I'm going to see how far I can go. And the old arm just can't throw with any velocity anymore, so I'll do good to get three or four skips. I saw somebody get 16 one time, and we were counting them as fast as we could. But when the stone hits, what happens to the water? The ripples go out. And the ripples continue. They don't diminish after 3 or 4 feet. They continue for a ways. That ripple effect, even for a small stone, is there. And obviously, the aspect of the small deeds that you do, the small actions that you take, or you're thinking they may be small, but for the person who receives that gift of hospitality from you, no doubt will benefit from the ripple effect for a long time. So generosity, friendliness, those aspects are important in the work of God, and we thank the Lord for it. I don't know how the rule came to be golden. I was thinking about that the other day. Golden. How come it's called golden? How come it doesn't have a different name? The way you want to be treated, you treat others. And we call that the golden rule. Well, that it also has a corollary. What you sow is what's going to come back to you. It's what you're going to reap. So this aspect of hospitality really, really is important. Hebrews 13 and 2 talks about be careful to entertain strangers, because you can actually have been entertaining angels unawares. And a women's group was discussing that verse one time, and the question was asked, how do I know if they're angels, you know, people coming knocking on the door and so on. I guess it was a young pastor's wife, because we do get people coming from the campgrounds here needing money and all of that sort of thing. You know, that's kind of an interesting thing. Remind me to come back to this story about the angels. But that's an interesting thing. When we first moved here, somebody needed gas money. I said, our floor needs vacuuming. Okay, good trade. vacuum the floor, I'll put gas in your tank. But we're in a different age now. If an injury is faked on our property, doing something that I've asked in order to give them gas money, we're liable. And so it's a whole lot easier just to just to give. So anyway, the pastor's wife asked, well, how do I know who is an angel? And the answer was, well, angels don't smoke. In other words, In other words, you know, be careful about who you're giving. It's hard to do. I was working in my office late one Saturday, getting ready for service, and knock on the door and go to answer. And it's a young man who was hitchhiking to Homer, and he didn't get a ride. He needed a place to stay. Could he stay here at the church? No, because of liability. And I didn't want to take him home. Sister Glover was gone somewhere. Maybe it was ladies' retreat time. And I didn't want him at the house. And so I went down and bought him a room at what's this place called down here now? Changed the old Scout Lake Inn. And so took care of it that way. But it's a situation where hospitality has to be given, has to be offered. But boy, it's an area where you have to be careful. So that's what we're going to talk about here today, and showing kindness in the name of the Lord. And we thank God for reasonable service. That's how Romans 12 talks about it in the beginning. Reasonable service. And giving ourselves as a living sacrifice. And then service is mentioned on through the chapter, just as we saw here in our focus verse. Another version renders that phrase reasonable service as spiritual service of worship. But it's gotta be extended beyond that, and that's what we're gonna talk about here. In the aspect of hospitality. The text from 1 Peter chapter 4, 8 and 9, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. And we thank God for that love that we share with one another. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. That has to do, no, the blood of Jesus is what covers sins. But charity, love, covering sins is the lack of offense, to where, you know, my love is not going to take offense at some slight or imagined or real. So it'll cover that offense. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Remember Martha and Mary? We'll talk about them in a little bit. But her attitude became one of grudging. I'm doing all the work. She's just sitting there. And, you know, that was the problem that came from there. And the Lord gave instruction. He didn't, you know, some think maybe he reprimanded her, but he just explained, Mary hath chosen that good part, and it's not going to be taken from her. And in other words, Martha, no big rush. We're here. We're going to eat eventually. Go ahead and make the right choice. Amen. Faith without works is dead. We know the scripture admonishes us in that regard. And love without works is non-existent. Look at 1 John 3 and 18. 1 John 3 and 18. Sister Bartlett, could you turn this screen on? Thank you. 1 John 3 and 18 talks about loving in word and deed. Now, love as an expression, the phrase, I love you, is wonderful to hear. And thank the Lord we can share that love one with another in expression, in verbal, I love you. But in word and in deed is definitely how the Lord would want us to combine the expression of love, verbal expression and active expression, and certainly truth is to be involved there. So, okay, we understand then that's how important it is to be able to follow through with this aspect of expression of love. If we perceive the needs of others above our own, there's going to be action. We can ignore it, I guess. We can see the problem and see the situation, and then say, "Well, somebody will take care of that. I've got to hurry to McDonald's or whatever." We got to make sure we're following through on what God wants us to do. Remember that story? Not just a story; it's an actual experience where the Lord is standing, watching people bring their offering to the treasury. And these rich guys were coming in and casting in a huge offering. And then a widow woman came, and she dropped in her two pennies for, you know, the mites, pennies. And the Lord made the observation. She gave more. And I'm sure people would say, what? Those rich guys cast in more than the two pennies, and we're talking about material value, they gave way more. But what the Lord was pointing out was she gave all. Did she have anything left for her own needs? Did she have any means of providing for herself? Apparently not. If she gave all from her poverty, from her living, her livelihood, that was quite a gift, and that's why the Lord pointed it out. Now, there's wisdom to be, you know, to giving. We were at a meeting in Prince Rupert when we pastored in Ketchikan. Prince Rupert, you have to take a ferry, 6-hour ride to British Columbia and be in service there. And one of our young mothers, our young converts, gave in the offering. And then didn't have money to buy Pampers for her little one. So we had to buy the diapers. We certainly didn't want. I can tell you a story that Brother Yaden told, but I better not. But when the cause is greater than the need, you're going to respond. You're going to. With wisdom, that's why I related that aspect about, that mom giving, the young mom giving in the offering for the meeting was good. It was a powerful meeting, my word. It was awesome to see people getting the Holy Ghost. We had a young lady get the Holy Ghost there. But yet, you know, if your little one is going to need diapers and save some money for diapers, because it's a need. Okay, another passage in Matthew 25 when the Lord is telling the people about, I was hungry and you gave me meat, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me, I was sick, you visited me, I was in prison, you came to me. And they're standing there scratching their heads. And they're looking at the Lord like, what are you talking about? And then the phrase, when saw we thee? They used that phrase three times in Matthew 25. When saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And when I read, when saw we, I thought, are we looking? Are we looking for those opportunities? Are we looking for the needs to be filled? Or, you know, is it easy to become like the Levite and the priest to see the need and pass on one side, to see the need and pass on the other side, and let some other good Samaritan come and take care of the need? That we've got to be looking for those opportunities. And thank the Lord. Sometimes we can step right into the situation and build a relationship. Build a relationship. Amen. And be able to continue. Now that young man that I provided a room for, I wish there was a way of follow-up. I wish there was a way of saying, hey, I've got a Bible study I want to share with you. But on he went. And hopefully he didn't just forget it, but he was thankful for what a church did for him. Amen. And not just bad-mouthing, you know, all those rich churches, they could buy a room anytime and, you know, that sort of thing. Anyway, a relationship being built, I think, is really important because of being able to establish something there, a contact. You know, in share group, we call it an icebreaker, that beginning of our meeting, and we ask a question and everybody responds to that question. It's called an icebreaker because it opens the conversation. It breaks down any kind of barrier to discussion because everybody is expected to contribute to answering that question. That's why it's called an icebreaker. Sometimes we have a hard time initiating a relationship and initiating an opportunity to give a witness. But thank God there's the share group aspect of sharing a meal is, I think, really important. It's interesting how we've progressed from just a snack. It started out being just a snack, didn't it? And I think all three of our groups now have a full meal deal. And it just, that's the way we minister to one another. And hopefully invite others out to be able to come as well and be a part of our time of sharing. And thank the Lord for you who have opened your homes time and time again and provided the meals, provided the fellowship, the space, the opportunity to come together. And praise God, there's been a few converts to come of that. And we're looking for more. Praise God. Because the opportunities that the Lord would give. So meals really are an important part. Let me ask you here if you would list for me times that Jesus spent with someone over a meal. Now we know the woman at the well. We know the woman taken in adultery, cast at his feet in the temple, and he stooped and wrote. We know the instances of healing, but I'm talking about when he sat down with them, when he took time with them and just shared. Now, there are times that he provided the meal, and, you know, the feeding of the thousands, I'll use that one. But there were times that he allowed people to provide him a meal. Okay, so what does your list include? Zacchaeus being at his house. Salvation has come to this house today. And Jesus was in the house. Right. Praise God. And that's why salvation was there. Amen. Sister Walker. All right, Zacchaeus. Any other? Simon. the rich man who complained, you know, if he knew what manner of woman that was touching him, you know, and all. If he was a prophet and all of this stuff, his thought process is going full blast in condemnation instead of, being the host that he needed to be. Brother Steve? All right. We sing about come and dine, don't we? The master calleth, come and dine. Bread and fish upon the fire. He satisfies the hungry every time. All right, Peter and healing the mother-in-law. I wonder if the Catholics read that and understand. Peter was married. He had a mother-in-law. So, anyway. Others, yeah, Sister Sue. Mary and Martha, definitely. More than once. And, that's an interesting one. Lazarus is resurrected, and he's again in their home eating a meal with them, and the authorities are plotting to kill not only Jesus, but to kill Lazarus. He's just been raised from the dead, and they're already plotting his execution again. But the Lord, here's the point. The Lord took the time with those people. And many, many friendships have begun over a meal. And restaurants are convenient. And the opportunity to share with someone there, especially because of the fast food aspect, which some of them didn't get the memo. It's pretty slow. And but you have an opportunity to share with somebody. Again, it's your time, it's your money, it's your resources, but we're trying to build that relationship, trying to continue something that has to begin somewhere, and it could easily begin with a meal. Yes? Right, crockpot evangelism is what he called it, and he... He said, don't worry about dust on the blinds or magazine scattered somewhere. He said, don't worry about that. They're more interested in spending time with you. And you sit down with that meal that's been slow cooking in that crock pot during church, and you bring them home after church and share with them that meal, but certainly share with them testimonies, share with them the Word of God, share with them the opportunity to set up a Bible study, and he has proven it works. It works, and they do that constantly. In one of the lessons before, I mentioned how a church somewhere got involved in a housing ministry for the homeless. And they called it Room in the Inn, which provided for a homeless person to have a night in a warm bed and a shower and laundry and all of that sort of thing. Room in the Inn, and we've got agencies here on the peninsula that do a fairly good job, and that's why we give them offerings. Love Inc. and the Salvation Army. We provide an offering to them because they're set up to do those kinds of things. And where we don't have those facilities except on our own home. And that's when you have to be really careful. Entertaining strangers unawares, possibility. But be very careful, especially in this day, in this society. But, praise God, there's people like Andy Nyman who have been rescued. And Andy Nyman's story is indeed a miracle. My goodness. Living under a bridge in Vancouver, B.C. And, the regression of how he started with the drugs and so on and would make fun of the winos who were passed out in the park but then eventually he found himself in that condition. selling his, and this is ridiculous, the voucher that homeless people would get for having a room in a hotel that would accept those vouchers and give them a room. The manager of that place would take the voucher and give them cash instead of a room so they could go and buy their drugs or alcohol. There's corruption in this world. There's evil in this world. And we don't have to look very far to see it. But there are people who are caught in those traps, caught in that that aspect. But thank God there are some who have been rescued. And Brother Andy, every time I see him and when I think about him, I thank God for the miracle of redemption and deliverance that the Lord has done. Because God can do that kind of work. God can bring that kind of deliverance. Praise God. Now, let's look at a couple of examples. Lydia was a woman who worked with purple garments in Philippi. That was her business, but she was also very devout. She worshiped the Lord and had prayer meetings down at the river. And Paul and Silas come to town. And they evidently hear about Lydia, and they go and join her prayer meeting. And praise God, Lydia was hungry for truth. And she and her household, I like that, she and her household were baptized, and God blessed her and moved in her life, and the Lord provided for her. Then there's that young girl who is crying out, "These are servants of the Most High, men of the Most High. They show us the way of salvation." Absolutely nothing wrong with what she said. Very true statement. Paul and Silas were showing them the ways of God. Paul and Silas were servants and men of the Most High God. But it was the association with demonic power that upset Paul. And after many days, he was grieved and commanded the spirit to come out of her. Praise God. And she was delivered. Well, people who used her for income were upset, and we're familiar with the story. Paul and Silas beaten with rods and then cast into the inner prison, their feet made fast in stocks. My goodness, how uncomfortable to be bruised and bloody and then to be placed in that position where there's no comfort, there's no release, no relief, nothing at all. But at midnight, they prayed and sang praises. Pretty incredible. Put yourself in that setting for just a moment. In fact, stick your legs straight out in front of you if you want to and see how uncomfortable that would be. It just does not seem like a likely place to praise and pray. But God visited that place with an earthquake. Praise God. And their attitude was not, "Oh, no. Now we've been beaten with rods. We've been put in this prison, and now the place is going to fall down around our ears." That wasn't their attitude. They were looking for deliverance. Well, you know, how amazing that the stocks popped loose. And they weren't just flimsy little pieces of cardboard that held them there. I imagine they were beams and manacles and just come apart, door flung open. Pretty amazing. And dark in the prison. They didn't have nice chandeliers hanging in their cells. And if there had been lights, they'd probably were extinguished in the earthquake. But Paul saw the jail keeper about to kill himself. And he hollered out, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." How did he know that? Well, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God doing the work. And then the jail keeper, prison keeper, and his household, baptized in the wee hours of the morning. Couldn't wait for a convenient hour. Couldn't wait for something to develop in terms of, what would be a little bit easier. Treated the wounds of Paul and Silas and then baptized them. He and his household. Praise God. I like that household idea. That's what we're looking for, a household. Praise God. That's why we have Vacation Bible School. We want a beginning with the household. Amen. And believing the Lord that there's going to be the increase that God wants to provide. Amen. For the mic. That's a good point. And the reason that the Philippian jailer was about to end his life is because he knew that was the Roman law, that if a prisoner escaped, your life was forfeit in place of his. But yet, apparently, there wasn't any. And very likely some of those other prisoners saw a changed jailer. Because the new birth changes you, and they too, in the moment or following, they too became involved. But here's the point about Lydia. After Paul and Silas were released, they went back to Lydia's house. There again, the hospitality, what she was willing to give, what she was willing to show. And our time is moving quick here. Martha, we mentioned her. Busyness or business with the master. That's what we've got to balance and make sure we're doing right. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Martha was busy in the kitchen, stressed over the meal preparation, didn't have time to listen to the Lord, and then complained that Mary was doing that. But the Lord gave instruction and gave opportunity, and thank God. They enjoyed a meal together. That's one of the times that we mentioned, and they all benefited. In the Old Testament, there was a Shunammite woman. Apparently, she and her husband were a bit wealthy and recognized Elisha coming by and saw him as a man of God and fed him. And she apparently was a good cook because Elisha took that opportunity several times to stop and have a home-cooked meal. And then they got the idea, let's build a room. Let's provide a place. Let's accommodate this man of God. And her hospitality was extended. Elisha wanted to know what to do for her. I don't need anything. But his servant told him she doesn't have a child. And the son was born. Praise God. A miracle. But then the son died. But God restored. Praise God. I'm thankful that we have resurrection power to believe in. And we know, the resurrection and the life, just like Lazarus, Mary and Martha being told, do you believe? And the Lord saying, I'm the resurrection and the life. Oh, I know he's going to be raised. But in the moment, in the hour, thank God we can anoint with oil. And the Lord raising up. Praise God. And restoring perhaps what is not working right, heart trouble, cancer, whatever it might be. Praise God. The Lord and his resurrection power is able to do a tremendous work. Thank God for that power and that blessing. Abraham, those men approaching to his tent, he immediately began preparation in entertaining them. And in doing so, he got the promise of a son. And then he got the news of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he began to pray. 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. I get tickled. He sounds like an auctioneer going in reverse. But he, 10, Lord, will you destroy the city with 10? No. What an incredible opportunity for Lot and his family to have made a huge impact in that city, but he sought accommodation for himself. You know, the rewards of hospitality include relationships that we talked about, building relationships. But it also talks about building community. That's what we attempt to do in our cell groups, in our share meetings. We're building community. And look at the last five letters of that word, community, the unity that we want to see develop, the unity that we want to have come as a result. Galatians 6 and verse 10, let's take a moment to read there. Galatians 6 and 10, be not weary in well-doing, the apostle says. You're going to reap in due season if you faint not. What a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. We oftentimes refer to wrongdoing in that setting, but it also has to do with the what you put forth in the effort of hospitality and doing good. Galatians 6 and 10 talks about having opportunity to do good to all men, especially to them who are of the household. Thank God for that word again, household of faith. And look at the last five letters of opportunity, the unity that we want to see develop as well as we come together in the work of the Lord and want to see his power displayed. So hospitality is not just it's not just a giving away. It's not just being taken advantage of. We can look at it in some negative aspects in terms of what others might be looking for in terms of those who knock on your door, those who are panhandling and so on. But the rewards, what you sow being what you reap, is real important here to recognize because it's ministry. The ministry of reconciliation. I guess we're going to be looking at that eventually in our series here as we finish up. But the opportunities to do good. Jesus went about doing good. Praise God. And thank the Lord. That's what we can do as well and see how God would demonstrate his power and his blessing in hospitality. So again, thank you so much for the willingness you have to share your homes, share your time, share your energies, share your food in our share group. And I'm believing God that there's going to be those who will come in. Praise God. And actually right now we've got people who attend, who don't attend church. They attend share group and they're making tiny steps. We'd like to see them just take the plunge. Amen. But tiny steps that they're taking. Praise God. And we continue with that hospitality, continue with that faithfulness. We're going to see what God can do. And oh my, God can do some tremendous things. An earthquake? Well, I don't know. That would shake things up, wouldn't it? But the shaking up and the changing of the hearts of those individuals is what we're seeking through that opportunity of hospitality. And thank the Lord for how the Lord can use us. And certainly, not just the act of hospitality, but the prayer that saturates that. The fasting before the meal that can help the Spirit of God move and work as we discuss the Word and share that fellowship and have those times of prayer and just believe that God's going to move and provide in a special way. Thank God we're laborers together with God. That's an amazing statement, isn't it? God's using us. We're part of the harvest. Oh, yes. And there's more that God wants to do. And thank the Lord. We can believe the Lord for even more. So, given to hospitality. Praise God. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And then see the Lord do the work. Because the needs are there. A lot of needs, a lot of opportunities. But God can use us to manifest his power. Praise God. All right, our time is gone, so let's unite together in prayer. Sister Wade, is having trouble with asthma and breathing, panic attacks yesterday, and ended up in the ER. Let's pray that the Lord would help her. Sister Stella had an allergy reaction again and was in the hospital. We want the Lord to minister to her. Sister Linda is suffering back trouble, some discs that are out. We want the Lord to work. And Kiana, the abbot's still there. The walker's planning on going. Just amazing to think of how that work has progressed from the barge arriving with all of the materials to a building being up with sheetrock already going on. That means the plumbing had to be done and electrical had to be done before all of the insulation and sheetrock. Praise God. And that's just over 3 weeks. Praise God. Amazing. And so we want to pray that the Lord would continue to bless and help. Amen. Let's stand together. Brother Mike, come and pray. Let's believe God together right now.
In Jesus' name, pray for everybody that's in the hospital, Sister Wade and Sister Stella. Lord, your perfect will be accomplished there. I pray your touch would be upon their bodies, that you'd help their minds also, Lord. Keep them encouraged, just as Pastor Glover talked about Paul and Silas, that they'd be encouraged, and in that hospital they could make a difference. We command that pain, the distance in the, Linda's body, to be put back in place, and every bit of pain to leave her body in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in Kiana, how you've answered our prayers already, and that you're continuing to make a difference there also, for that whole region to take notice and step up and see the power that you have and to see what's taking place in that place, and that they'd be hungry for it, Lord, hungry for your spirit, and they'd experience it in Jesus' name. We're believing for a mighty outpouring of your spirit up there. We're believing for many towns to be touched, many towns to receive your spirit, receive baptism in Jesus' name. And Jesus, we thank you for it, Lord. You're a prayer-answering God, and we thank you for it. I curse pie wackets in the name of Jesus Christ. I take authority over it. I'm sick of it. I command it to be destroyed. I command every bit of witchcraft in the city to be destroyed now in the name of Jesus Christ. I cast down every curse made against this church. Every evil word spoken against this church, I cast it down in Jesus' name. I reverse it on whoever spoke it. In Jesus' name, destroy it now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It's not by might nor by power, but by your spirit. And we are using your spirit now. Itanda bakiosha biate. Mioton da bahaye kayetan da mosabahayesha. Yoton de behetan da kayetan da mosoya. Yes, Lord, we thank you for victory. We thank you for power. We thank you for love, sound mind, self-control. And we loose that in Jesus' name.
We worship your name. We worship your name. Praise the Lord together here for just a moment. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thank the Lord. Amen. Our service in about 10 minutes. Take some time for fellowship and greet one another in Jesus' name. God bless you.